Okay, this is a report what we were able to achieve. CDC has now laid as a national antifiber condition, and we have a chapter in the annual surveillance summary. I'm going to speak about a little bit of background, then go over the data source and case definition for eBLL, then describe what we have in the 2015 MMWR data, and then we have plans for the next number, 2016. And then we need to work together to get this data already there. And I'm going to explain how we can do this. And some states have requested us to work with MOUs, and I have good news. MOU has been approved by the legal department. And then also there's another initiative in NIOSH. We have a GIS program that if you may like to use, our team is willing to share with you the resources we have. So first of all, in 1981, four states, California, New Jersey, New York, and Texas, implemented surveillance systems for occupation-led exposure. And those states are still with us, so thank you for being with us for this time, and thank you for helping to reduce lead exposures. And in 1987, we have a MMWR reporting blood levels greater than 40 micrograms. And starting in 1992, 21 states reported quarterly elevated lead levels greater than 25. So this is amazing. So this gave birth to our program, the data source, the ABLES program. In the ABLES program, we track lead exposures nationwide. And as we said before, in 1987, we have the first report, blood level greater than 40 micrograms. And then we were able to get 41 states, 2011, 2013. And then for reasons we all know, in 2014, we have 34 states that were tracking elevated blood lead levels. And we think that the blood level, as we know, is a direct index of workers' exposure to lead. Also, the blood level is an indication of the potential for adverse health outcomes from that exposure to lead. And as lead accumulates in bone, also blood level is an equilibrium with bone lead. So what we are considering is that the public health burden of elevated blood levels in adults is measured as prevalence of elevated blood levels. So we have to agree in a case definition. So in 2009, we agreed that we were going to call an elevated blood level in an adult 60 years or older with a blood level greater than 10 micrograms of whole blood. And the assumption all known was that we were going to measure that blood level in a venous sample. That we wrote in 2009 in the contract that the case definition is greater than 10 micrograms. And another CST, the same year, the CST issued a position statement recommending CDC to adopt this blood level. So in 2010, CDC included elevated blood level as a national notifiable condition using this same case definition. And we worked with Healthy People 2020, and we were able to convince them that this was the level we can use to measure the Healthy People 2020 Occupational Safety and Health Objective 7. And this chart depicts the different levels, and just to show you, to describe here that in blue is 25 microns has been definition for the elevated blood level. Up to 2008 and 2009, we changed it to 10. And if you pay attention to green line, the green line is data from NHANES, and it showed that in 2009, 2010, the average blood level in the United States was 1.23. So it's quite below our yes.
And currently lower than one. In okay. Later years.
Yes. Okay. That means that even our case definition is above what the national average is. So what we're reporting now is we're reporting this MMWR. We're presenting, in fact, 12 tables. Four tables providing data from blood level greater than 25 micrograms from 1994 to 2012, and starting with 2010, blood level greater than 10. Then we are measuring number of cases, we're providing number of employed adults, and the prevalence rates. These numbers are breakdown by state, region, state of residency, that means rest of the state or out of the state, all cases and occupational exposures. We're providing the numerator as estimated as the total of cases in the resident plus non-resident adults from all participant states. For example, in 2010, 37 states provided platelet aggregate and thermograms, and that the numerator is the sum of all cases in those 37 states. And the denominator comes from the local area unemployment statistics, and it is the annual employed population, I mean, older than 60 years. And again, the data comes from only those 37 states that participated during the reporting period. In this case, 37 states in 2010. We have in total 12 tables. Four tables describe detailed data for 2012. Then we have a chart and a map, and then we have eight tables that provide historic data. So I'm going to go over briefly over those, and I think you all have seen this, and I'm confident the numbers we're providing are correct. I have checked several times, and I asked you to help me checking those numbers for your state. And most of you have responded saying my numbers are correct, and some said we have to correct that we have corrected those numbers. So we're confident that the data there are correct. So this is table one. What table one does is provides the number of cases with blood level greater than 10 micrograms and the old definition greater than 25. And why 25? Because we can then use this as a historical measure. We can track how we did in the past and how we're doing now. And this is by region. You can see New England and Connecticut, all the states. We provide the denominator, that's the state resident employed adults. All cases mean state residents plus out-of-state residents. Well, state residents only means states reported as residents in the states. And then we have the same thing, the same breakdown for blood level greater than 25. We have some notes explaining that in some cases when some state didn't provide the data, well, we have to exclude the denominator from the total so we can have a national, the closest possible to the national rate. So that's table one. Table 2. Table 2 presents, again, by region, but in this case we're presenting by exposure source, occupational, non-occupational, and unknown. And on average, about 95% of cases are occupational when we know the data source. You see here about 800 cases we didn't know where the exposure was. And there's some notes explaining that in some cases, only 32 cases, we called it occupational when you reported to us that you were not sure if it was occupational or non-occupational or both. And then so we included as occupational in this report. Next tables present, again, the data. Table 3 is by age group. This is the regular age groups they use in the MMWR, so we try to make as close as possible to the infectious diseases tables. And number 4 is just another table dividing by gender. Now then we have a chart. This chart shows a trend. I think you are very familiar with us. We just adding completing the data with newest data. As you can see, in 1984, 17 states provided the data, and the rates was 14 for blood level greater than 25. In 2012, we have 41 states, and the rate was 5.7. Then we have a map. And in this map, what we are providing is the states above and below the national rate. We thought that this was a little bit more descriptive. We would like all states to go as close as or below to the national rate. And so this was just to show that we can have states, we can work to implement preventive measures. Then we have the historical rates. And table 1, now is table 5 in the new draft, provides the national prevalence rates of adults with blood level greater than 10 micrograms, 2010-2012. Again, we provide number of states providing data, the prevalence rates, the number of cases, and the employed population. And table 2 provides, again, historical rates, since 1994 to 2012, but in this case, it's for blood level greater than 25 micrograms. That's to show the historical trends. Something happened. Then we have more tables. I didn't put this put it here because you know all of those, but I just wanted to let you know that we have historic data, number of cases, and prevalent rates of bladder levels greater than 25 starting 1994 to 2001 and then 2002-2012. And table 7 and 8 provides the denominator. That is the total state resident employee adults by state and year since 1994 to 2012. The numbers are, the tables are very interesting, but for somebody who likes to see it visually, at this time we're working with what we call a new data visualization tool. And this is a project we're working at this time. And the idea is, in this case, I just presented California as an example, and we chose to show the elevated bladder levels by year, the rate, and the state, and in this case, the indicator was all cases where they were greater than 95, and we can see the chart. If somebody would like to look at the numbers, then we present the table, the data. So anybody with access to internet may access the data and do the wrong analysis. So this is still in beta form. We are still working on that. We hope that by October we'll have a version we can ask you to test and then to see if everything's working fine. We have seen that sometimes something happens with the problems and sometimes the data is not correct. We'd like you, when the time comes, to check that your numbers are appropriate. So that's the new data visualization tool. And so far, this up to here is the MMWR 2015. Now we already start working in the new next edition. It's going to be the 2016 MMWR. And for this, CDC we have agreed that we're going to provide tables with 2013 detailed data and also national data. And we were planning to follow the same format unless you recommend something different. And we're going to do the same breakdowns by bladder levels, occupational, age groups, and gender and sex. We're proposing to have the map instead of the 2012 map, it will be 2013. Again, we'll see the states that are above and below the national rate. And then we're planning to update the chart that will go up to 2013 and add 2013 data to the historical tables. So those are our plans for the 2016 MMWR. So at this time, I'd like to ask for your opinion, because what we have seen is that we have lots of data. We couldn't include all the data that was available. For example, we didn't include incidence rates. We didn't include bladder level greater than 40 micrograms. We have already done some analysis with rates for bladder level greater than 10 micrograms for some states that have been provided that data since 2002. So at this time, I'd like to hear your opinions. What do you think we can include or we can remove? And also, in order to provide to CDC the new MMWR, we need to have 2013 data. We have up to September the data, but we're still missing from some of your programs data for 4 months. So I'd like to open this for a 5-minute discussion, probably, and listen to what you think about this MMWR. First question: all of you have checked your data, so thank you very much. And thank you for doing that. But another question is, do you think we need to add incident rates or not?
Can you hear me if I talk without the mic? I'm Kat from Iowa. My issue with incident rates, once we're using the lower number, for example, 10, as an abnormal rate, is that our incident definition is based on comparison to the prior year.
Yes.
And there's a lot of workers that don't necessarily get tested every year at those rates. If their result is 10 or 11 or 12, they don't necessarily get tested every year because they're not required to under a lot of the monitoring programs. So I feel that it's kind of a false indication that about incidents. I think the prevalence is much more representative.
Okay, thank you. Any question? Rick, I think, no? Okay. Yes?
Are we on incident rates or any of the above? Are we just talking about incident rates?
Oh, any. I was just trying to spark the discussion talking about incident rates.
Yeah, so as far as the VLO over 40, I'm wondering if that would be informative in that it would kind of keep current data on OSHA's radar, so they kind of know
mm-hmm. okay.
what's going on in that at that level.
But that's
not
OSHA's
standard.
But that
would
be 50 or 60, so.
Well, and the other thing, we just had one recently that was exactly 40 micrograms per deciliter, which we send to OSHA, and they told us the standard for them is actually, for when they want it reported, is actually 40 micrograms per 100 grams, which is slightly different than per deciliter because blood is heavier than water, and so therefore it was like a 39.8 instead of a 40, and so they said, no, we don't want that.
So they're not following their own policy. The policy says 25. Right, Dave?
What do you mean policy?
You have a policy director.
Yes.
The NAP. The regions?
Oh,
the NAP, National.
Right. But for what, 25 doing what in the same phase?
Making a, OSHA said they'd like referrals and that they would go inspect. That's what their NEP says.
I was under the assumption that the agreements were all sort of individual between.
But the policy that all the regions was you should inspect 25 or greater.
Oh, okay. So in that case.
So that 39.40.
Yeah.
Is it a lot more work to do another analysis for over 25 and over 40?
No, we have the data there. What happens, we didn't present at this time because if you see the, when you have a look at our MWR, it's about 40, 50 pages long. And it was very long. And then at that time we thought maybe at this time no, but we can add later. We have the data already. Yes, Ken?
These numbers are important in the ongoing thoughts about updating the standard, and there is a movement to do that, and what's driving that are these is the ABLES program and the understanding that there's these high rates. So it's as far as picking a number, 10 obviously is important from the public health perspective, but this 25, which matches the same the NEP, which for some reason I don't. I've been always thinking 40 and above with the individual agreements that have gone with the ABLES programs in the states, but I don't think it matters what number you choose. 25 is as good as.
Well, there's more variation. There's been more. We can show a moving decline at 25. For most of the states at 40, it's pretty flat.
Yes, so the rates go low because we have, I think the rates have been about one per 100,000 since, it's going down, but still about one per 100,000. Now, I don't know if we can, maybe, can we discuss the next position statement here? Probably, right? Because I think it's information that there's a group that has been discussing the CST, Kathy was there leading the one important part, and I think can you explain what will happen? What the proposal for the new process? That will have impacts on ABLES program.
Yeah, and this kind of came out of, for a couple of years we've been looking at the need to update the lead position statement for CSTE because it still reflected the old rates case definition for children at 10. And then the adults, I forget what the old one was for in 2009, for 10. But so we were looking at redoing it, and then they said, well, you know, when we came up with our medical management guidelines or response, we actually do have that category that says for pregnant women or those with chronic health problems that a level of 5 or higher, they should be have oversight. And so they said, well, then let's just make it as that's actually our abnormal number for an adult. So it's currently the same for both children and adults at 5.
So that's in a proposal for a proposition statement from CST, is that correct? And so that will have implications on what we do, the work in the ABOS program, and also we'll discuss more in the next session when we need to work on the CST indicator number 13. But something we need to consider. 5 is the proposal for the next position statement. Okay.
Well, I wanted to echo what, in addition to Kathy saying it might not be possible to calculate incidence rates, it certainly would be time consuming because one has to match between years. And to me, I think one of the problems with this whole thing is our data is old by the time you're getting it out to the MMWR. And I would much rather see us having 2014. I mean, as it is, in 2016, you're going to be missing 2014 and 2015. So I think you should be encouraging us to get you the 2014 data and doing everything you can and sort of not making it slower by asking for incidence data. I think trying to help the states get their 2014 data to you would be a more important thing.
Thanks, Ken, and you have been sending us data. We have Ken and Joanna already send us the data for 2014. So probably the question is, can all other states provide us the data 2014 so when we rewrite the next MWR, we say up to 2014 data? Because if you give us the data, we can work on the data and we can negotiate with MWR maybe a little bit later than they're asking already. That we can promise them that the data is going to be more complete, and I think the CDC will like that, and that will be more current. In fact, that will make us ABOS program the more current of all programs, and that would be great. So that goes to question number 2. So would your program be able to send NIOSH now 2014 elevated quality levels by this deadline? Yes. You can? Awesome.
So not including specific industry codes, just the people level, states, state of residence, or are you talking industry and everything?
The current MWR contains a table that makes a table by occupational exposure.
Oh, so
so we will need that.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. California can do it.
Yep.
Louisiana can do it. Massachusetts can do it. Okay, so I think then, yes?
And I already emailed you that at Minnesota we can't, because even if we got the MOU going this week, by the time it gets approved, it's going to take at least that long.
Yes. So we can work on that too, because this data is going to be published already next year by this time. So hopefully I can get everything going on, and then when the time comes, I can request the CDC, say, well, can you please accept us a new data set? Would that work? I think that can work. CDC is always flexible, trying to make these things happen well. So okay. Yes, Steve?
Can I go back to one? And, you know, the discussion of what, you know, reporting over 40 or 40 and above. As I was thinking about this and listening to, you know, people talking about it, the realization is that, you know, we're now saying a elevated blood low level is 10 and above.
Mm-hmm.
And we know there's health effects at those levels and at 25. By reporting 40, which kind of is a meaningless number because it's not an OSHA number,
yes.
Right? It's a return to work number to go under that, but it's kind of meaningless. You're almost legitimizing somehow that blood lead levels 40 and above are some, there's an importance to them beyond the 25, but they're all important. The higher is obviously worse, but so maybe by just reporting, like, say, the 25 and above or you know, because you do have to, you know, you need industry data and such. So maybe, you know, you shouldn't differentiate the 40s.
Okay.
Like, why? What are we trying to say by saying these numbers are over 40? It's like, you know, are these the only cases that are important by separating them? So I'm thinking it's a bad message. I don't know.
So following that same thought, 25 is simply, it's a historical kind of lab reporting artifact.
Sure.
They,
right.
There's nothing health-based about it. It's just like a kid level that
right.
was disseminated as, you know, this is very bad for kids.
Yeah.
And then reporting by state calls usually started.
Right, okay, yeah.
So, I mean, it does allow us to kind of compare over time in a better way. But, I mean, in California, we've just started doing ours, you know, 10 to 19, 20 to 39, despite, I mean, we want people to get the message that at 10, this is really bad.
Right.
And,
yeah.
I mean, it almost might be better to do.
Let's keep this thought in our mind, because we will discuss, again, come back to this point when we speak only one or two indicators. And can I have one, just 1 second?
Sure.
1 second. Yes. It is something I was discussing, or this is already, we're going to discuss later. ESRI, NIOSH has bought this database. And this contains BND data for about 18 million records, and we can have sense variables and NICS codes. So what's happening at this time is Jeff Shire and his team, two people in his team, are analyzing the data, and they are offering state able programs, 2 or 3 or 4, or if you would like to work on this data, is to analyze the data for your state and see if you can use the data for targeting interventions, for identifying if your system is capturing all the industries that are working with lead, and if you are receiving data from those industries. So the question is for you to think is, would you be interested in helping NIOSH to test if this system works or not? And here's more or less what you will receive. Here, for example, is the distribution of industries by construction sector. So we know where are those industries located. If we look at more detail, for example, this is for Ohio. Here we can see the number of facilities that are working with batteries specifically, and also the size of that company. So this is what we can provide with you, and also this can be presented in a tabular format, including contact information. So the idea is this data really reflecting what is happening in your state? When we talk with Missouri, we have seen that some cases it's not completely correct. So the idea is how we can make this better. And if you can use the data for identifying where you can target your interventions, we will love to do that.